Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, we have taken some heat this week, and I want to lean into that a little bit. And I think the three of us, we all respond to heat a little bit differently. And as you guys know, like sometimes I'm quick to feel guilty about stuff that I've said on the program, and then I'll frantically text Pipe and ask him to take it out. And honestly, I didn't feel that way about last week's episode, but as a result of the heat that we've taken, I'm kind of rethinking all that. And I guess I don't want to be the kind of person who's unwilling to take a rebuke. I want my heart to be soft as it pertains to that. And I'm not the kind of person who enjoys taking heat. I don't think I have one of these, like, you know, tough exterior razor blade personalities where I can just let it bounce off. So, I think I'm sorry. I think I apologize to Wedgeworth, and I think we probably treated him a little rough last week. So, if that caused him any undue pain or disappointment, then I'm definitely sorry. I'm not sure I'm sorry for any specific thing I said. And I think the nature of this is trying to ascertain what's sin and what's just, you know, being unwise or being flip or cavalier or whatever, which is a thing that people like for us to do on the program. So,
where is the place of humor? And, I think we would all agree that there's a construct that he used, which is super common, you know, amongst our favorite brand of evangelical conservatives, which is the list, which looks a lot like a formula for spiritual health, family health, whatever. And we're not crazy about those. We think those aren't great. And so what is the place of sort of humor, satire, et cetera, in responding to those in a way that is, I mean, that's not personal, but people often seem to misread humor. And so, you know, I'm very much on the fence right now in terms of, like, I don't want to cause people pain. I'm not looking to cause people harm. Right. But where is the balance between that was just a joke and the whole thing was sort of a satirizing of a construct, which in this case did have a person's name attached. I think that's where it gets a little sticky. But versus, like, oh, we way overstepped, which I'm not sure we did. So
I guess I have such a low view of our show that, like, I'm surprised when anyone takes it seriously. But after the fact, and after you guys shared some of the heat that we took on it, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, yeah, we did go after some things that some people hold pretty near and dear. And, you know, some things that if you just say the word out loud, you know, you're immediately getting heat on it.
Is there ever an episode we don't go after something that people hold near and dear? I mean, like, we go after things that each other holds near and dear. That's sort of the...
Yeah.
And it's and it's not to devalue everything. It is... It's to sort of deprecious things that people hold too dear, or to deformulize things that people have said, if you do this, then holiness will come about, or, you know, sort of the overpromising of the Christian parenting books or the marriage books or the church leadership stuff or church. I mean, all of it, it's the same formula for all of it, which is like, here's a list of six or seven things, do these and health will come about. And, but then also just, you know, anything that people become smug about, that people become precious about. And we got pushback this week for sounding smug ourselves, which is 100% accurate. We were so smug.
Yeah, we were.
On purpose. Like, that's the smugness in response to smugness is, like, nobody likes a joke being broken down, but that's kind of how that works. You know, you watch like Seinfeld. It's the same basic gist of satirizing something. And so, you know, I can understand how somebody who listened to the show for the first time would come away going, those guys are jackasses.
Totally.
But also, that's what we do. And listeners who've been around for a minute are like, yeah, that's pretty par for the course.
Well, and they love when we do it to Osteen or Furtick or whatever.
But, yes.
It got a little too close to, you know, our tribe, I think, on this one. And yeah, it was just interesting. You know, it's a interesting study in how this stuff works. And, you know, make no mistake about it. And Ron, we're going to let you talk here soon. Sorry, baby. But
I'm good. I don't need to talk. I'm just listening. I'm a listener today.
Make no mistake about it.
It's great as a podcast host to just be a listener.
Mm-hmm. When you wade into Twitter in 2019, like, this is what you're there for, right? Like, we gave everyone what they wanted in the sense that, you know, I think Wedgeworth is probably a wise enough guy to know that when you make that kind of post, I mean, he could probably pre-write all the responses, right? Somebody's going to yell and scream that he's being paternalistic, and somebody's going to yell and scream that he's ignoring singles. And, you know, you could pre-write all the responses, right? And, you know, so we've given him a boost of publicity, and we kept the thing alive for a few more days than it probably should have been. And everybody got what they wanted out of it. And we gave people who like to, you know, sort of be the definitive word on things a chance to smack us around a little bit. So I think everybody got what they came for. But yeah, at the end of the day, I don't want to be a jerk, and I don't want to be the kind of guy who is so hard-hearted that I can't apologize when I've hurt someone. But I'm not sure we hurt him. I hope we didn't. But if we did, I'm sorry.
I didn't get the impression from him that he was overly offended. There were some other people who were very offended on his behalf, or just offended by the either the fact that they swung and missed at understanding anything satirical, or they just hate the tone of the podcast. In which case, as one wise listener said, it's not for everybody. I mean, I wish it was for everybody. I'd love our download numbers to be everybody. That would be fantastic.
That would be nice.
We're not there yet. Nope. So, yeah, I think we've talked on this podcast multiple times about how we kind of abhor obnoxious sincerity or earnestness, not sincerity, because that's just not it, like, or earnestness, the sort of inability to sort of lighten up and be a little bit fun. And I feel like earnestness is the camp that hates what we did last week, in which case I just kind of shrug and go, you missed it, you know, like it. Has anybody ever watched a celebrity roast of any kind? And some people may hate those. They may be like, that's so hurtful. Mm-hmm. But they're not hurtful if understood in context. And so I'm annoyed right now that I'm explaining how humor works. This is my least favorite thing to do. But you apologized on our behalf, and so I kind of am I'm almost defensive against your apology, because I'm like, I don't want to be a jerk either, but also if there's a context of, like, this is humor, then it's is it jerky to be like, no, this falls in the bounds of humor.
Yeah, and I guess I'm sorry for dropping the apology on behalf of the program. We didn't premeditate that as a group. I don't know. Let's hear from Big R on this. Let's hear from the resident man of the cloth. We've bloviated long enough, Pipe. But I do get what you're saying, and I am sorry for, like, putting words into your mouth, as it were, as a co-host. Ronald?
I'm here.
Yeah, what do you think?
I'm right here. I'm getting over a cold, so my voice has that deep, rich,
baritone-y. Dude, it kind of has a little of the gravel on the low end, like my indescribable voice last week.
Yeah, man, which was, by the way, which has been just on loop in my head ever since. It was so beautiful.
I mean, the beer commercial version of Indescribable.
You nailed the chorus. The melody was just, you know, in tune and on point. And
Andy, could we get into the studio and record a version of that 100%. Together? 100%. That'd be bucket list for me, man. I'm telling you. Let's do it.
But I'll tell you, man, I mean, are we making fun of the guy that wrote that song now?
I don't know. Who wrote that song, actually, by the way?
I don't know. It's indescribable.
I would look it up, but I got yelled at for typing on the podcast a couple episodes ago. So,
oh, man. Yeah.
Sorry, y'all.
We're all feeling a little wounded this morning, I think. You know, a little defensive here
in
the studio.
Yeah, and I think that was Jared C. who was super offended and, you know, can't lose a listener like that. So no more typing for me.
Maybe he's had a bad experience. He's had a bad experience with keys clacking in the past, maybe, and that just brought up some stuff for him.
Guys, you know what happened? I was check this out. I was in Minneapolis last week for some stuff with the Denom, And Jared C. happened to be there on the same day, so we connected for a quick lunch.
Nice.
And he actually, one of the first things he brought up during our lunch was the keys clacking thing. So in fact, it really did bother him. It really bothered him. And in fact, it bothered him so much that he said to me, and I'll quote, he said, "Hey, Big R, the keys clacking thing, I felt like you just let Pipe take that one. I think in reality, it was probably you."
Oh
no, that was 100% me. I'm going to go ahead and own that one publicly. Nobody let me take that. That was I don't remember well, but I'm like 98% sure it was me. Because I've never heard keys clacking from you guys unless Ted is thoroughly tapped out, and he's usually pretty vocal about tapping out. So that's usually he just claims it on the spot. He's like, "Guess what, guys? I'm looking something up. I'm answering emails." So that one was me, Jared. So you can
imagine how awkward our lunch was after that. Where I'm like, "Oh no, shoot! Am I tapping my toe too much, Jared? Oh shoot, Jared! Did I?"
Yeah, you should have just like clinked your knife against a glass the whole meal.
That's what I was doing. I was like, "Oh shoot!" I texted while I was like, while I was giving my order to the waitress. Like, is that cool? You know. So it was. I don't know, man. Things got real heated after that. It was
wow.
Indescribable is by Chris Tomlin, by the way. I discovered that I have a smartphone with a touchscreen that doesn't click when I type on it. So I looked it up.
I can still feel the fingerprint on the screen, though, Pipe, and it's really distracting. hey, Big T, did you have any idea that was from Chris Tomlin? Chrissy T?
Dude,
Chrissy T.
I felt like it was one of the big ones. Like, I felt like it was like Jeremy Camp or Chris Tomlin or like one of the real like A-listers in that game. So
obviously, I mean, we're too cool to do that one at our church, but are you guys doing that?
Yeah. Oh no, we're not doing that. No, we're doing, we're doing like thoughtful reformed
like
type things.
It's basically
the 17 verses,
the Gettys. You know? It's just the Gettys CDs.
We're
kind of
running the Getty playbook. We do a couple.
Okay, so you're still redoing all the old hymns and adding a chorus or an extra.
Oh,
verse,
dude, we're adding everything that could be added. Yeah,
or like whatever like Pipe's dad has like added to some.
Yeah,
of the
they all go about.
Oh,
9 minutes.
Yeah, when he added the verses to "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," that were like, it's this song about reveling God's faithfulness, and it's like hard left turn into how abhorrent we are as sinners. Like, come on, Dad.
Right. Like, but Pipe, you know what I love?
True things. Wrong song.
I always thought that, man, "Great Is Thy Faithfulness." I mean, those 18 verses, we just didn't have enough.
Dude, we didn't have enough. The song wasn't yet.
Every time I've sang "Great Is Thy Faithfulness," I always think it would be great if somebody was faithful enough to add a couple more verses to this.
We haven't hit the 15-minute mark on this song yet.
Exactly.
"Great Is Thy Faithfulness" to these lyrics. Come on, Dad. Stick to the theme.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we were originally talking about now. It's just gone into so much mocking and satire, and I don't even know what to do now.
You know? Probably apologize, yeah. Ron. Okay. I haven't heard an apology from you yet. I apologize to Jared, sort of. Ted apologized to Steve relatively sincerely.
I apologize to every single person that has ever listened to this podcast and who has never listened to this podcast. I apologize to the world.
Baby, here's what I want you to do, and this is going to provide a segue into our next topic. I want you to Yoda tweet an apology. All right?
Oh, dude.
I want you to get a Yoda apology going, and that begs the question: if you're doing Yoda apologies, and Piper is like your apprentice Yoda, is he like a baby Yoda? And that's the extent of my knowledge on this, because apparently there's like a cultural baby Yoda thing sweeping the nation.
You know what, Ted? You don't know anything about baby Yoda, and you just dropped that in there in like the perfect cultural. Like,
dude, really?
Subtweet reference. If you hadn't outed yourself as not knowing things, people would have been. Somebody would have thought they were like in on the joke with you, not realizing you're not part of the joke.
Greatest Yoda transition of all time.
That was really good.
Baby, thank you so much. You guys are very sweet. I appreciate that. And I am in the dark on the whole baby Yoda thing. Truly, so somebody explain it to me, and then let's frame it in the context of Ronald and Pipe. So,
Pipe, I don't even know what it is. I know what it is. It comes from that new show, but
that's all there is to it. Is that so? Disney Plus launched their platform. They have a show called The Mandalorian, which is in the Star Wars universe, and episode one, you find out that this bounty hunter is sent to go capture or kill an unknown creature who turns out to be a baby Yoda. So that's the extent of it, except that it has become like a cultural meme because baby Yoda is fascinating. So,
well, dude, hold on. Is it not that? Okay, well, so now I'm all perplexed, man. Are you trying to tell me that Baby Yoda isn't the Yoda? It's just a Baby Yoda?
It's just a, yeah, because it happens.
Oh, it's not the Yoda.
No, okay. This happens after, like, the fall of the Empire. So, like, Yoda already did his whole vaporizing, vanishing thing in the other movies. I don't even remember which one. And so, yeah, this is another of that species, whatever that species is. That is a 50-year-old baby of the same Yoda-type creature.
Dude, I love it, man. I'm dadding Star Wars right now. I had no idea.
A 50-year-old baby, kind of like Ron, you know?
That's how I like to think of myself.
A 50-year-old baby Yoda.
Big G, I demand an apology.
I'm so sorry.
What you just said hurt. It was serious. There was nothing in it that reeked of any sort of, like, good humor at all in my world.
Well, baby, I am sorry for for putting that image in people's minds, which now it's just in there.
How dare you.
Every time they think of you, they're going to think of a little baby Yoda in like a flannel and a military jacket in an airport.
I so, want like, an illustration of this. I want baby Yoda in a flannel and like a messenger bag, a saddleback messenger bag at an airport. Yeah. This is
rolling like a carry-on bag to the gate
with like holding like a Christmas cookie.
Oh yeah. Oh, this is good. I'm here for this. If the internet can deliver that, I will make my peace with the internet for sure. All the pain and suffering that it provides could be undone with one baby Yoda, Ronald Martin related meme. All right.
So we're Yoda tweeting. Ron's trying to Yoda tweet an apology to the universe. Is that the gist of it?
Universe. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm working on it, boys. Do you want
to hear how out of touch I am? I'm like doubling down on the dad thing, baby. I heard someone talking, like, just kind of out of earshot about The Mandalorian, and I thought it might be a documentary on John DeLorean, the guy with the stainless steel car from the 80s.
So
I'm like, oh, The Mandalorian. Interesting.
You know? Like John DeLorean's the man.
Yeah, I wonder. That's kind of an obscure guy to make a doc about, but, you know, I might be here for that. I don't know. That car was pretty cool.
That's like an SNL skit on John DeLorean from the 80s, man.
Totally.
It's so funny.
Oh.
Dude, man, our podcast is just in the...
Dude, this one is kind of circling the drain, isn't it? In that, like,
circling the drain is so kind.
Well, we really didn't get as much, like, traction out of the whole...
That's what happens when you apologize, Ted. You can't make jokes after saying you're sorry.
Dude, I sucked all the air out of the room with that. That's on me. Like, I apologize to you guys.
You owe us an apology for apologizing. You just...
I effectively killed this episode.
On a serious note, though, like, and I'm not going to ruin the vibe again, I promise, but I think the reason we went so hard at the list was that, you know, given our ages, we did all grow up in the era where, like, that was what people were doing to each other. And, you know, and even, like, early adulthood in a Reformed church where people were doing all those things and not necessarily being any more, you know, graceful or joyous or whatever about it. I think, I think that's just the perspective we were coming from. So, I don't know. I don't know why I felt like I needed to pivot back into that kind of dumpster fire.
You said you weren't going to kill the vibe again.
I know. I killed the vibe twice, Piper. I'm doing terrible radio today. I'm not a good radio host today.
By terrible radio, we mean the kind of radio we do most weeks. So I think we're right in line. I think everything's.
Yeah.
I think, dude, we're right. It's par, man. It's par for the course today.
Dude, do you think part of this is the fact that people think we really premeditate this stuff and we really like, we're gonna go after this guy on our show? And it's really not like that at all. Like, the three of us are friends. We all like find each other funny. And in the way that three friends do when they're hanging out in a virtual room together. We just kind of riff off each other and we laugh. And in the way that can sometimes get out of control in real life, I guess it can sometimes get out of control on a podcast where, you know, you have a really good time and then you go, oh yeah, I wish I hadn't, you know, gone that hard into the topic or whatever.
Well, let's talk about that. Okay. So let's talk about this, boys, because you just said something that triggered something in me in a good way.
Okay.
Like, you know, if we look back, like, on the history or the short history of, like, evangelicalism, mm-hmm. dude, there's an alarming, like, lack of humor and parody and satire. I mean, I mean, honestly, man, I'm trying to think, you know, I'm thinking of, like, G.K. Chesterton or some of these guys that would go, you know, like, part of how they made a point was to, you know, kind of use satire, kind of go against the prevailing thoughts of the day to kind of make some ridiculous point. You know, to kind of, you know, basically communicate truth. And I mean, evangelicalism does not have a great history of even humor in and of itself, other than just slapstick, you know, sort of dad oriented humor where it's like so safe, it's so G rated, that it's like, it's barely considered humor.
Or like, you know? John Crist. Oh, too soon. My bad.
Right. Except for John Crist, too soon.
Sorry,
John,
that probably triggered somebody in a bad way.
But I mean, so when we look at like parody, when we look at satire, I mean, there's going to be some people that don't even feel like it has any place, you know, in the evangelical universe. I mean, so what do we do with that? What is the line that you cross? You know what I mean? It's strange.
It's a good question, baby. And it's funny. Like, so I took a trip this last weekend to Chattanooga, which is really a hipster paradise. If you haven't been to Chat, you need to go there. Have you been, baby? Have you been to Chattanooga?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Cool
so
town, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cool town. So I took KK there this last weekend for her birthday. And as we were driving home, she had some podcast that she wanted me to listen to because it was about, I don't know, parenting and technology and stuff like that. So we listened to it and it was good. In fact, it was a guy pipe from your dad's empire, Tony something.
Tony Rinke.
The heck was his name? Yeah, Tony Rinke. That's the guy.
Yeah, Tony's a good dude. Lovely man.
Yeah,
lovely man, Tony.
And it was a lovely man like Terry Malick. But it was super straightforward, super earnest. And yes, it was informative. But at the end of the day, I remember telling KK, like, I think podcasts like this are why people like our podcast. Because, yeah, it was really good. It was really solid, whatever. But, like, tonally, it was just... Yeah, like 45 minutes of complete earnestness. And
you know,
what's
a little frustrating about that?
What's that?
I mean, beyond the whole description you're giving, is that Tony actually is a fun person with a good sense of humor who has interests in baseball and movies. And, you know, he likes life. And,
sure, and the host wasn't bringing that out at all.
Right.
You know, like just, getting it a chance to showcase it.
But it shouldn't be a surprise to meet, and to meet an influential Christian and go, oh... Like, you have a personality and a sense of humor. It's a bummer when that's a surprise to people.
Yeah, that's true, man. That's a good point. That's a really good point. But I think increasingly we live in a world where even having a personality feels risky.
So true.
And I think, if you have too much of a personality, you could get beat down for it. So I don't know. I think we're all moving in a beige direction. And... like increasingly humor, call it satire or whatever, like just being funny or trying to be funny, it's going to become harder and harder in real media too. I mean, we're talking about it on the tiniest of scales here in terms of what we do, but like it's the same way out in the real media.
I also think there's a flip side to this, which is if you're just the classic, like what you tell your kids, if you're going to dish it, you've got to be able to take it.
Yeah.
A massive part of having a good sense of humor is having a sense of when to laugh at yourself or eye roll at yourself or be like, and I'm an idiot, which I'm sure we get wrong all the time because all of us have varying levels of sensitivity or things we take seriously that we're not prone to joke about as readily. But I think we would like to be people who, if somebody was to like rail on us in their podcast in a genuinely satirical way, be able to shrug and be like, yeah, that was funny. Like they did, they got it. And, you know, I don't know that we would do that quite, you know, quickly enough or with enough sort of like embracing, but I'd like to think we would.
Yeah, I hope so. And
But, you know, for satire or humor to have a place, it has to be a two-way street, not just people savaging other people, but other people kind of throwing their arms open and being like, yeah, that was funny. Like, you made a joke at my expense, and it wasn't at my expense because I laughed. I thought it was really funny.
Yeah. And I guess what I hate the most about this episode, which I've ruined clearly, but I think what I hate the most about it is that it's going to invite another week of deconstruction of us and our motives, and like we're going to go into the 2019 social media cycle of like, was the apology sincere enough? Did they suffer enough? You know, and I'm not like playing the violin for myself here. It's just like, it's a corner that we backed ourselves into, and by we, I mean me. But you know what I'm saying, though? It would have been easier in a lot of ways to just like find some Driscoll thing to talk about this week and pretend like it never happened. But and maybe that's what we should have done, so as to not invite another week of deconstruction.
I mean, we still have a few minutes left.
If it makes you feel any better, I'm going to name this the episode that Ted ruined. So,
do name it that, because that is 1,000% what it is for sure.
I feel like that, but that sort of closes the loop on and is like, okay, it's the episode that Ted ruined by apologizing and being introspective.
Dude, I'm too introspective. I hate it.
I feel like next week we'll make it the episode that like Pipe ruins, and then I'll take the next one.
Yeah,
we'll even up the score.
We can be equally yoked in ruining episodes.
Right, that's what I mean. Let's be ruiners together.
Can we predict how we will ruin those? Because like this is very on brand for Ted. If Ted was going to ruin an episode, it was absolutely going to be like ambushing with apology because he does this because
Dude,
he has
I've
a good
ruined
heart.
So many. I've ruined so many evenings in my real life the same way. Like I can't tell you how many like hangouts and evenings I've ruined.
So what does it look like for Ron to ruin an episode?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question, Pipe. What do you think, Ronald? How would you ruin an ep?
I don't know. I think it's hard. It's virtually impossible. But if I were to look for the one way that I could ruin an episode, it would just be having a bad day, coming on the cast.
Yep.
You guys just going off in some sport analogy for like 20 minutes. And then instead of me taking it with my usual lighthearted candor.
Panache.
Just getting upset and just being like, you know what? I don't even know why I'm doing this anymore. I don't know why I'm with you guys. It's been years. You know, I'm just done. And I can't even fake it anymore. And just, you know, kind of turning the mood sour.
Yeah.
So I can see that.
I can see that.
And then you feeling bad, then you apologize, then turning. So then maybe you ruining the episode ultimately because you start apologizing to me. So I don't know.
You would kind of pout and like shop for cabins online and clack the keys loudly as you're typing things into the search engine. A mess.
I'd make Jared angry, right? It would just the whole thing.
Yeah.
Me and Jared meet up again in Minneapolis, and he'd be angry, and it would just be horrible.
We've glimpsed that nightmare. Let's not do that.
Oh.
Yeah, we've looked into the abyss, and the abyss stared back. No, thank you.
Exactly.
Judas.
Ronald, how could Piper ruin an ep?
I think Pipe could just go on a tear about some issue that's driving him crazy.
Yeah.
And basically we could just let him monologue to the point where it's like, T, are you even on the app anymore? You know what I'm saying? Like, are we still on this thing? Exactly. I guess
that is uncomfortably accurate.
Yeah. I know. Sorry, Pipe. You know what I
mean? Well, no, I think it's funny. It just sort of, yes, I could absolutely hear myself doing that. Sort of like a Walter Matthau temper tantrum over here, and
actually,
sort
be
of
really
losing
that
my
would
mind.
So I would enjoy that, actually, to be honest.
I love Walter
Matthau. I would enjoy that so much more than I'm enjoying this particular podcast.
Oh, totally. Which we need to end.
It's a gong show.
You know,
are we going to have any listeners after this week?
No, they're all going to be gone.
So this is it's our final podcast.
Dude, I'll say one last serious thing, and I'm going to do it a third time. I'm going to ruin I'm ruining the ep a third time. But this is in defense of Pipe. I think people hold Pipe to an unfairly high standard because of who his dad is. And I think they expect more from him. And I don't like that on his behalf. I feel defensive of Piper because of that. So that's me killing the vibe. I've sucked the air out of the room a third time.
But at least that time I felt very encouraged by you killing the vibe. That was a very encouraging vibe murder.
Well, that's good.
One of these days, I feel like Big T, Pipe needs to ask us what it's like to have dads that nobody knows or cares about.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome.
That actually sounds fascinating to me. I should interview you
guys
about
that. Something that you have no experience in pipe. We could dish on that for a few minutes.
We could.
Not to mention that I have met the original Ted Kluck, and he is just a wonderful down to earth.
He's a lovely man.
Lovely man, but also like the kind of lovely man you don't want to get in a scrap with. He looks tough.
He is very tough. He's a hockey player, and when I say present tense, that's still a thing. But yeah, amazing dude. I could talk about my dad for hours. But Piper, let's talk about something else that we love, and that's Dwell Bible. And I hope Dwell Bible still loves us after these two episodes. But I kind of have my doubts now. So maybe if Dwell could text and just say, "I'm going to text Dwell Bible and be like, are you okay? I haven't heard from you in a while."
We just need you to redeem this thing, right? Exactly. We need redemption.
All right. Well, Ted said we love Dwell Bible, and that is true. I was actually listening to this audio Bible app earlier this week while driving in the car, which is my most common place to use it, either then or while walking the dog. So if you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can see what they offer and the special discount they offer for our listeners. It's an audio Bible app. They have listening plans. They have multiple narrators. They have musical backgrounds. They have a number of features to help you study or memorize or meditate on scripture, where you can build in periods of silence. You can put things on repeat. It's just a wonderful resource for getting scripture into your life, especially on those stretches of time when life is nuts and you don't have time to sit down and read and study and focus. So there is a cost to it. You can pay annually, you can pay for a lifetime discount, but you can get the 33% discount off of either of those at dwellapp.io/happyrant. With the discount, it comes out to about $20 a year, so really inexpensive. And they're constantly upgrading, adding new features. They're working to get some new narrators to have some different styles and voices and even accents, so that you can kind of experience the reading in a variety of ways if you're looking for something a little bit more straightforward or a little bit more dramatic, or kind of bringing different cultural backgrounds into it as well. So again, dwellapp.io/happyrant. Check it out. And they also have a 7-day free trial if you want to just test it out and see what you think before purchasing.
Right, that was the best thing that happened today, what you just did.
Oh, that's so depressing.
Albeit the bar was very low. Yeah, very, very, very low bar there. But folks, that was Barnabas Piper, who's John Piper's son. And we have done what we always do on this program, boys.
We've done some other stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
We've done what we never do on this podcast.
Let's be accurate. Let's be a little more precise with our language on our sign-off, Big T.
I've done what I often do, which is killing the vibe in a room. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.